one thing that I do as well is I never shove down the throat of my guests. Hey man, I need you to promote my show. Hey man, can you post a story about you coming on the show? It's like, no, man, if they want to talk about how winners win and they feel compelled, they're going to do it on their own because they feel like they got the value out of it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of the podcast on podcasting. As always, it's your host, Adam A. Adams, AAA. And I've got Daniel Blue on the podcast. Daniel's an entrepreneur. He's doing 7 figures a year business, which is pretty freaking cool. And he recently started a podcast. So as we are recording, what's kind of cool is his podcast is growing a little bit faster than most podcasts that I'm used to seeing, which means typically after just 30-ish episodes, which is where he is, maybe 35 or 40 episodes, after that amount of time, I usually don't see somebody who already has 30 ratings and reviews. So they've got a 4.9 total rating and over 30 ratings. And Daniel, I don't know if you knew this, but based on ratings, 5-star ratings, only 10% of podcasts have 30 or more. So you recently hit that threshold where you're technically top 10%. There's 90% of podcasters out there. 9 out of 10 of them don't have the success that you've achieved. I think it's cool because as Daniel and I were getting ready for this interview, he mentioned, he's like, I'm not going to say anything that I'm not. I don't feel like I'm really an expert at podcasting, but I will say that Daniel's been able to achieve something that 9 out of 10 podcasters have not been able to achieve. And we're going to dive into that story with him today. And the big message that he wants to leave for you is if he would have done this all over again, he would have started sooner. So let's start talking a little bit about this. Now, Daniel, my first question that I want to ask you is just understanding if you serve a certain person in your business with education, your company, if you serve somebody over there and you serve somebody completely different in the podcast with your co-host, or if you're actually serving the same person and it kind of feeds the company, what would you say there?
Yeah, I would say that I'm the same person, right? Like when I'm talking to my employees or I happen to talk to a client on the phone through my company Quest Education, or I'm on the podcast, I try to just be who I am. And that makes it easier. I know I'm probably going to repel some people away, but also I know I'm going to attract certain people. And it just comes down to being consistent in terms of who you are and your message and what you stand for. So it's pretty interesting. I think a lot of people have the idea that you're going to start a podcast and you're going to get a bunch of leads, right? It's just going to be a great marketing tool. And I'm not saying it's not a great marketing tool, but it's interesting that you brought up what you said as far as like that whole 10% and those numbers. And this is like probably one tip I have for newbies like myself when you're starting off is like, don't even judge your podcast for at least a year. Like I'm going into this knowing I'm not even going to really care about downloads, reviews for my first year. Like I'm just going to focus on putting good content out, content that people can relate to, or they feel compelled to leave a review or share it with their friend, and just focus on building our audience. And then let's see where things look in a year from now, right? And I think we get caught up too much in the vanity metrics as far as likes and comments on social media. And it's the long game, right? We always hear about the long game. And I think podcast is the ultra version of the long game.
I like that you say that podcasting is a long game. It resonates really well with me because I know many, many people who basically they dabble or they practice or they try things out. And there's many entrepreneurs, as you probably have met many of them, they'll go and they'll start doing this thing in real estate investing, and then they'll start doing this thing in wholesaling, and they'll start doing this other thing and this other thing. And none of the things that they ever do, they don't spend like several years. I like with you mentioned, you're going to start looking at those metrics, but after a year. And what we tell clients that come to us to start a podcast is, look, if you're going to start a show, you're in it for the long game. Like, I don't want to work with anybody who's going to do a show for a year or two. at a minimum, if you can commit that you're going to be doing this for the next 3 years, we'll work with you. We will help you get to the level that you want to get. So it's really impactful that you mentioned that, Daniel. I also love that you talked about being yourself, being who you are, and being okay with, you said, I may attract some people and I may repel other people. We just had an episode go out. It was about cussing. And it's basically the same. It's about the same premise. It's like, be yourself, be who you are, show up that way all the time, and people will at least know if they resonate with you. So you'll be attracting the right people. How have you been getting your guests? Like, what makes you determine who you have as a guest? And the reason I ask is I've listened to a couple of your episodes, and there's a big variety of different types of people that you have. So I'd really like to understand, how do you find them? What makes you decide if they're a right fit for your show?
Yeah, and this is where networking is so key. One of my good friends, his name is Travis Chapel. I'm not sure if you guys know each other. He's big in the podcast game like you are. And we golf together, work out together. We live here in Vegas. And he was the one in my ear for the last few years, like, bro, you need to get a podcast. And I'm just like, man, no, not right now. I'm too busy. And there was also some limiting beliefs that I had, like, man, like, what am I going to talk about? I sound stupid on camera. I look dumb on camera, right? All the excuses that we have. And this is where networking comes into play. One thing that Travis talked about that I didn't actually see until I started to do it myself was podcasting is a great business development tool. Right? Nobody wants to get a cold pitch, but you probably have a better chance of having a conversation with that potential referral partner or potential affiliate if, hey, you want to be a guest on my show? People love talking about themselves, right? So it's a great gateway, segue to start a conversation, and they can just say no and not jump on your podcast, or they can just leave you on read, or maybe it never gets to them, but at least you have some way of getting their attention that is not so spammy, right? That's huge. And that's, I think people underestimate the business development side of things. But as far as the networking is massive, like I went to ClickFunnels a few weeks ago in Florida and had a chance to meet and get to know John Lee Dumas, JLD. I'm going to be on his podcast tomorrow, and then I'm going to have him be on How Winners Win on my podcast, you know, probably later this year. So any way that I can find a way to develop and nurture relationships, like, you don't want to just start pitching people right off the bat, right? If you can get to know them, have some similarities. I have a dream 25 list. Like, I have a list of people that I'd love to get on my podcast. Some of those people I'd love to get on my podcast because they can be potential referral partners for my business. Some of these guests can be people that would give our show clout, people that are reputable in the entrepreneurial space. So I try to find people that, and also I want to find people that are entertaining. I think you probably know this better than me, Adam. Like, how many times have we had a guest on a show and you're just like, dude, that interview was boring. This guy was dry as shit. He's smart. Like, he knows his shit, but that interview was boring, right? Like, we've all listened to a show where it's like that. So I try to find people with a story, people that I know can bring a lot of charisma and just entertain the audience. We listen to a podcast to be entertained. Yes, we want to learn, but we want to laugh. We want to gain a new perspective and think about things. So there's a ton of smart people out there that I'd love to have on the podcast, but after seeing how they talk and their engagement, and not engagement like social media, but like how they engage in other interviews, I'm like, I'll pass. I'd rather get someone that has a lower follower count, but a hell of a story. And I know my audience is going to be like, dude, I'm so glad you brought that person on the show.
I like that. Hey, speaking of JLD, how did you go about meeting him, connecting with him, getting him on your show, and getting yourself booked on his show, out of curiosity? He's a big name.
Yeah. So we got to remember, guys, we're only one relationship away from really leveling up your life in a bunch of different ways. And that one relationship, I'm not even saying is JLD. That one relationship could be Bob. And because you met Bob, Bob introduced you to Susie. And then because you got introduced to Susie, Susie introduces you to Jack. And Jack, who you wanted to talk to the whole time, right? So like, that one relationship can open up a lot of doors. And Travis has been a great friend of mine over the years. And I got connected with JLD because of Travis. JLD is an investor in Travis's software company. It's called Guestio. If you guys want to get booked on shows, this is not me plugging Guestio because I get paid. I'm not benefiting in any way. But Guestio is a great way to get booked if you want to be a guest on a show, or if you have your own show and you want to get guests. It's a marketplace. It's a great way to get on more shows or get more guests. So because Travis and JLD are friends and doing business together. I was hanging out with Travis on ClickFunnels, and then ended up hanging with JLD a few nights and getting to know him. And because of that relationship, it allowed me to jump on his show. And then, yeah, you always want to find a way to reciprocate and have other people on your show and vice versa.
Cool. Awesome. Will you mention that resource again, Guestio? How do you spell it? And we'll make sure it gets in the show notes.
Yeah. So it's guest, just like hotel guest, and then IO. So guestio.com. Okay. Yeah, definitely worth checking out if you want to get on more shows.
Awesome. Thank you. And that resource is now in the show notes. And also my team will be looking it up too. So we've used a few different services to connect with people. Really, really good stuff. So I really want to understand, like, with you said, and I think I remember it was like Travis, your golfing buddy, it has always said that you needed to have a podcast. You were kind of like resistant to it for a while. What made you resistant from having a show? A
couple things. One, I didn't know what I was going to specifically talk about, right? So my business is we help people access money in their retirement accounts, penalty and tax-free, right? So if you got a 401k from an old job or an IRA, and you want to access that money without paying the penalties and taxes, and you want to use that money to maybe build a business, invest in your own business, invest in real estate, pay off high interest rate credit card debt, we could show you how. As cool as that sounds, maybe like me, because I'm biased towards it, that's a boring topic, right? Finances, right? Like, how many times have we heard somebody at an event talk about insurance or investments and you're just like, damn, is it lunchtime? Like, I got to go on this break. I'm bored as shit, right? So it's just not a sexy topic. So at first I'm just like, man, like, what am I going to talk about? I just don't want to bore people and talk about retirement accounts and investments and things of that nature. So I was hesitant on what my message was going to be. That was number one. Number two was, I'm like, okay, how am I going to execute on this? I'm not someone that is the most tech savvy, and I figured you're going to need equipment and production. And so I just kind of started to think about the work that was involved. And then we're a new business. My business is only 3 years old. Essentially, we're an infant in the business world. So right now, and in the years past, I'm focusing on hiring and culture and marketing and finances and all the cool things that, and the sucky things that we have to deal with business owners, right? So in the back of my mind, I'm like, dude, why am I going to spend time on this podcast where I don't even know if it's a good ROI worth my time when I could be spending time doing other things in my business that I know there's a proven track record. So, and I think the last reason why is I've always kind of been, not always, I would say I started my podcast earlier this year, being reluctant to get on camera and just be yourself in front of a video speaking. I get nervous speaking in front of people or in front of a camera, right? It's like, you know, you have that conversation with somebody and you're off camera and you're flowing really good. But then as soon as the camera gets on, you're like, oh shit, what was I supposed to say? Right. So kind of some of that fear was embedded as well.
I've definitely felt the last one multiple times. It's partially like imposter syndrome and partially like I remember growing up and in grade school, like if you're going to get made fun of in grade school, you're like, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to act cool like the other kids. And then I'm not going to get made fun of or whatever. And so like getting on camera, getting on the mic has always been uncomfortable for me as well. So, but maybe for different reasons. I really like to go into these four things that you mentioned, you know, identifying the message is one of the things that held you back. How you're going to execute it, you're not tax savvy, kind of held you back. Is it going to be a good ROI or a bad ROI for my business? And then the reluctance to get on camera. How did you overcome like what the message was going to be about? How did you ultimately figure out the message?
Yeah, so I came to the conclusion, I'm like, okay, I don't want to have a podcast that just talks about finances. Like, I know there's a lot of podcasts out there that just strictly talk about finances. And I listen to a lot of those podcasts so I can learn and I can grow in the financial area. But I'm just like, man, these are boring. And if I find them boring, I know a lot about finances. If I find them boring, the ideal person I want to get in front of, I know they're not going to pay attention to this, right? So I'm like, I got to find something that I can talk about that's going to keep them wanting to listen every week. And it's going to be relatable. And I'm biased towards sports. Like, I love sports. And I'm like, okay, I think a lot of the people that I want to do business with, or I want to have a relationship with, I think they like sports too. And sports and business and sales have so many similarities. So I'm like, okay, how about we come up with a name that has to do kind of with sports? And that's what we came up with, how winners win. And shout out to my buddy, Trevor Cowley. He has a podcast called Real Business Owners. And I want to say it's like one of the top 1% podcasts out there. And if you haven't listened to Real Business Owners, they have a great podcast and an awesome Instagram page and really good friends of mine. And I was going back and forth with Trevor as far as like names, and he helped me come up with How Winners Win. And then my co-host Keita, kind of, he played a part in that as well. So we're like, okay, how winners win. Like, we want to help people win in their personal life, their business life, their financial life. Like, we can talk about a bunch of different shit within that realm, right? So one week it's about mental health, right? Maybe the next week it's about crypto and investments. The next week it's about relationships, and talked about 75 hard. That was something I did earlier this year, that physical mental challenge. So just different topics that can relate to people. And then we'll sprinkle in some finances along the way, because that is who we are as a core. So once we dial that in, and it's just a matter of executing, and there's always certain topics that we can talk about.
That brings us to the other thing that I was really curious about, is the execution. Like, that held you back for a while because you didn't know how it was going to be executed. I'd really like to extract from you what it took to make the execution. For example, if your co-host was a big part of that, if you've got a team editing your podcast, or what are the resources that you reached out to make sure that you could actually implement a podcast and not be like that total tech savvy person that you were talking about before?
Yeah, I think that's why it's really important that people listening, that where I was as far as thinking about it, but haven't pulled the trigger, it's important to align yourself with people like you that have started a podcast, know what it's like, and can get some practical advice. So definitely don't go about it on your own. You know, there's a ton of Facebook groups out there, LinkedIn groups, podcast coaching programs to speed up the process and not have to reinvent the wheel. So just personally, I didn't sign up for any podcast course or anything like that. Obviously, I had the luxury of being able to go to the gym with Travis in the morning and ask a couple questions, and then having people over and Real Business Owners ask some questions. I think that's why it's so important that you develop and you nurture your relationships. You give back to the people that are important to you, because it's just so convenient to be able to call somebody that has been there and done that, and you can call or text and get advice, right? So relationships to me are, it's more important, more valuable than money, in my opinion. It's a currency that's more valuable than Bitcoin or any other crypto out there. So once I was able to kind of formulate all the different plans and execute, then it was just a matter of taking some of my in-house resources. Roland is one of my employees here at Quest Education, and he is our producer. So it's super awesome where I can just come in. I think today's Wednesday. We have our episode today at 2 o'clock. He'll have everything set up, all the mics, all of the tech set up. And then Keita and I just come in and just, you know, what we're going to talk about. And then Roland does all of the editing. We've got a few video cameras set up. We're playing that long game where we want to take the content. If you go to my Instagram page, Daniel Blue, you'll see some of the clips. So we'll take some of those clips, repurpose them. We're building out a YouTube channel as well. So again, these are things where I just had to accept that I'm not going to get an immediate ROI. I'm just playing the long game. I know the work I do today is going to be out there years to come, and it's evergreen, right? Like, I have people reach out to me off the first few episodes and give us some love, maybe do business with us. So to me, I think there's a couple different, and you know better than I do, Adam, like there's two different ways to approach this and move forward. Either one, you take the approach that I did, where right out the gate, I spent a few $1,000s, got all the equipment, cameras, podcast equipment. I have a full-time employee that does the editing and the production, things like that. So I took that approach just because I wanted to repurpose the content. But I know you don't have to do that, right? Like, that's just an excuse. Don't think like, oh my gosh, I have to have this amazing setup in order to get the end result. No, that's not true. I know. I mean, I think Travis had an offer not that long ago. He still probably does, where it's like, and you probably do as well, Adam, where it's like, dude, you can get started with a freaking mic that's not a bunch of money. Use Anchor. Like, there's all these different software programs, resources where you can get a podcast started and outsource your editing and production and not have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get the podcast out in the marketplace.
How much did your co-host play a role in you starting a podcast? Like, I'm really curious, would you have started a podcast by yourself? Is it helpful to have a podcast host? I, for one, had some podcast hosts, and they ended up falling off of the podcast and it became just me. And so I would like to hear your experience finding a co-host, pros and cons of having a co-host, and kind of what it did to help you along the way?
Yeah, it helped a lot. I will say I give mad respect to people that are able to do podcast episodes solo, right? Just a solo podcast for 30 minutes and it's just you, like, mad respect. That was definitely something that held me back from wanting to set up a podcast. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I want to just do this by myself. Like, that's just a lot of airtime. And I like the podcasts that I like to listen to, Ed Milet, Andy Frisella, a lot of the podcasts I like to listen to, Real Business Owners, there's two people, right? It's not just one person. And I like you're just sitting at the bar with them and you're just hearing them have a conversation, right? So that's just my own bias. I like to hear that. So to what you were saying earlier, as far as having a co-host, there's certainly some pros and then there can be some cons, right? Like that person might phase out. How long is that relationship going to last? I'm very, very fortunate. Kita has been working for me for the last few years, rockstar employee of mine. And plus we've known each other for years and years and years. So I already know we have that natural rapport and knowing when he's done with his sentence and I'm not interrupting and there's not these awkward pauses and it's just natural, right? So if you're going to have a co-host, really make sure that it's part of the long-term plan and you see it working out long-term and there's some real natural rapport between the two and you guys can play off of each other, right? He's way different than I am, the way he talks in terms of his thinking and I'm different and works out good because you don't want to have two boring hosts that are the same.
On some of the social media platforms, for example, like one of the Facebook groups that I'm a member of, I've seen on a handful of times, maybe four or five different times, somebody will jump on to this Facebook group and they'll say something to the effect of, hey, I'm a brand new podcaster. I want to start a podcast in the rainbow industry, or I want to start a podcast with a sports theme, or I want to start an artistic podcast or a business podcast for entrepreneurs, whatever. They keep coming on there and they'll basically just say, who wants to be a co-host? Do you think that that's a good way to find a co-host for a podcast?
If you also think it's a good way when you start a business and you're like, hey, I want to throw someone on my operating agreement and get a business partner who wants to go in business with me. I think they're very similar.
They're very similar. I love it. Or going to, what is it? Just basically going into the bar and being like, hey, everybody, I'm single. Who wants to go out tonight?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Duly noted. I'll stop getting my co-host that way. No wonder I keep getting slapped. So Daniel, really would like to keep going through the things that were holding you back from launching a podcast, since one of the things that you were hoping to pour into like a new podcaster today was more on the realm of like, dude, just start. Like, what's holding you back? And one of the things that held you back, you said, is you didn't know if it was really going to be a serious ROI. Like, if you're going to get a return on your time or return on your financial investment as well. But ultimately, you started the podcast. What kind of got you over that concern?
Yeah. So two things. One, I really wanted to grow my Instagram. I haven't posted on Instagram prior to this year. If you go to Daniel Blue on Instagram, you'll see my first post. I want to say like January or February earlier this year. So as you can imagine, since I've never posted before, I had like two followers, right? One was like my mom and my wife, right? So I knew I needed to be active on Instagram and actually post. So that being said, I knew I needed some good content. And I figured the podcast would be a great way to do that. And now I'm sitting at about like 11,000 followers and they're all from India and Pakistan, but there's still 11,000. I'm kidding. But no, it's been great getting like good quality engagement with the followers. And I know some of that has to do with the content and the podcast, right? So that's one, just being more clear on my game plan and social media, more specifically Instagram. And then two, I'm in the business where me being the CEO of the company, like my role is branding, right? My role is business development. And a big way that we can get more leads in the door is from affiliate relationships, right? Strategic referral partners. And what better way to talk to more high-level possible referral partners than a podcast, right? It's a great, especially once you can get your podcast to where it's consistent, right? If someone looks at how winners win, they're not going to say, oh, this podcast is like Ed Milet and Andy Frisella's podcast. But you can also see that I just didn't start the podcast yesterday, right? So when I'm talking to these people and I'm just like, hey, I got a podcast. Would you like to jump on? I think you'd be a great fit for my audience. They can pull up my podcast and see like, okay, they just didn't start yesterday. Yeah, let's do it. So it's a great way to cultivate relationships and nurture relationships. You underestimate when you get on a podcast with somebody, there's a few minutes before the podcast starts and there's a few minutes after the podcast starts. And who knows what happens in those conversations. And then after we do the podcast, then Roland will email the guest that was on our show and he'll email them like 10 different clips. Well, so we'll send the guest that came on How Winners Win the entire podcast in video format. Here you go. Your team can edit it and do whatever you want and brand it however you want. Here you go. And also, here's 8 clips of you spitting fire that we really liked. And I think that whoever you post about or whoever you send it out to, they're going to like too. And one thing that I do as well is like, I never shove down the throat of my guests. Hey man, I need you to promote my show. Hey man, can you post a story about you coming on the show? It's like, no, man, like if they want to talk about how winners win and they feel compelled, they're going to do it on their own because they feel like they got the value out of it. Right. So it's like just building real relationships and having fun, having a good time. And then you'll always have that in common with that person. Like they'll always remember, oh yeah, that's right. I was on that show. He interviewed me. Right. Like, so you always have that. Maybe you now have their email address. You have their cell phone number. That doesn't mean you spam the shit out of them, but like you're closer to building something real. So just knowing that it's a possible lead gen tool, great business development tool, combine that with my intention on Instagram. I'm like, man, I got to get on this.
Here's a couple of the things that I got from this. So the question was around, do we know if having a podcast has a positive ROI? And some of the gems that I just got from Daniel was that he's making it more of a holistic approach. It is a piece to a strategy. It is a tool as part of this whole strategy that has a reason behind it. And other tools that you're using at the same time is like your social media, your Instagram, growing that, making these kind of mesh together. Second thing that I pulled from that is how you're using the podcast to make sure that you are actually growing the business. For example, some of the people that you might have on the show as a guest who you're adding value to while they're a guest on your show, you may or may not end up having them be an affiliate referral partner where now they're able to make a little bit of income as well while they're putting people in front of your business to help them unlock some of this hidden money that they didn't realize that they could start investing into these other things. So it seems like that's another way that it's really helped you. You might not be selling ads right now. You might not have a coaching program, but it's really smart that you are always looking for those opportunities for other affiliate partners. And when you're having that natural conversation with somebody that is getting value by being on your show and getting their message out, it's a win-win. And the third thing that I learned from you when talking about how do we know if this podcast is a good ROI for me or not is that you're going the extra mile by creating like 8-ish clips. For example, somebody came on your show, you mentioned, hey, here's 8 clips where you're spitting fire, where instead of please share my podcast is not the language that you're using. It's you were awesome. Here's 8 clips that prove it. And then you just send it to them. And if they decide to post, they will. And I think that it's a strategy, a direction that many of us don't think of. Many of us are like, I've got to make sure that they share it. I'm not even going to let them come on unless they agree that they're going to share it in 5 different places. It's one of their questions sometimes for different podcasts is like, do you want to come on the show? Yes. Will you share your episode with your audience and your email list and your social media? The only option is yes. You've got to click it or else you can't even be on this podcast. And I think it's interesting that you're doing a different approach. It's the way that would make me feel like I want to share your podcast. If you're like making me click all these boxes, I'm like, F you, man. Like, come on.
We haven't even done the podcast yet. Why am I committing to share something that we haven't even done? Like, what if you suck as a host? You know what I'm saying? Like, or what if I don't bring the value that I know I can bring? Like, there's just a lot of unknowns. I had someone the other day, he asked me, he said, hey, I need you to press release on your website. Do you agree to do that when the show comes out? I'm like, yeah, let's skip this one.
Love it. Love it. That's good stuff. When we work with our clients, we'll generally give them just a couple of pieces, like a quote card, for example, or an audiogram where their guest is spitting fire. I think it's awesome that you and your team are going the extra mile to not just have just one quote card and one short audiogram, but you're really pulling like 8 of these. That's a lot of extra work. Have you found that it is benefiting the growth of the show by giving 8 things to somebody that they might be able to share versus maybe just 2, like my company's usually been doing even for my own podcast?
I think what it does, I think I'm too early in the game to know if there's a correlation with the growth, right? Because my podcast is only 5 months old, right? I do know I've gotten really good feedback from the guests that have been on How Winners Win, what we give them as far as the assets, the digital assets. I know they really appreciate that and being able to use it how they want. And it's just like, we're giving it without expectations. Like you said, is, hey, you were awesome on the show. Here's you sounding awesome and looking awesome. Thanks for being on the show. Right. And we just end it with that. And then now I know the next time I see him at ClickFunnels event or another event, or the next time we have a DM conversation, like, it's not awkward. It's not like, man, this guy's always wanting something from me, right? Like, always wanting me to do something. Like, we all have that person in our life. We've been around someone that's like, dude, every time I see him, he always wants something. He's always wanting me to do something. Like, fuck. So it's like, you know a lot more than me about podcasts. I've just been on enough shows and listened to enough shows where I've just picked out certain pieces. And I'm just like, I want to do a little bit different. And it might not give me the best ROI in the very beginning. But again, I'm not doing this to make money. I'm not doing this to get an ROI the first 3, 6, 9 months, a year. Like, I want to judge this after a year, year and a half, and see like, okay, what has been accomplished? What can we measure is my mentality.
That's a good takeaway for anybody listening. I know many people who start a podcast or maybe a social media strategy or whatever it is that they're doing, writing a book, and they don't think about measuring and tracking, like, for example, just KPIs. What happens when we do this? And you are waiting, you know, after a few months to then be able to look at it and say, what has all happened? But at the end of the day, it is something that you're not just doing willy-nilly. You're not just publishing it for no reason. You're not going to track it. You are tracking it. And there are actual business reasons why you're tracking that data. I had another question. I forgot it. So I'll move to the reluctant to get on camera just for a moment. I might be able to remember that other question that I had. But talking a little bit about, like, one of the big goals that you had was, we want people that are thinking about starting a podcast to buckle down and actually have a podcast. And I know a lot of people, not just me, not just you, Daniel, that are reluctant to get on the mic, to get on camera. We might feel like, hey, I wasn't an A student. I was a C student. I was a D student myself. I'm not the most eloquent person. I didn't get a master's degree or a doctorate. And so there's a little bit for me of comparing myself to other people. And I still started a podcast. I'm wondering with you, what was able to get you over that concern of, I don't want to be on camera. And now you're on camera frequently.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to the mission, the end goal. And the end goal that I have for my brand and my business is to get more attention, right? Like, you need attention in order to get business, right? So one way to get attention is video, right? Another way to get attention is written copy. Another way is a podcast, right? So like, these are all just channels to get attention. And that's where the podcast comes into play. And then I also knew from enough other people in my network, one thing that was very powerful, and I didn't really realize it until I got further along in the podcast game and I started to get on more podcasts. Like, this is probably like the 50th episode, 50th time I've been a guest on a show. It's like, dude, you get better at speaking. You get better at taking what's in your head and getting it out there. How many times do we find ourselves like, man, like, I can't really put this in the words, or like, I'm having a hard time conveying this message, or I'm having a hard time saying what I really mean. And that just comes down to communication skills. And I know I'm a far better speaker and I can articulate my words way better today than 6 months ago. Right. And a big reason is because between all of the episodes I've been on and been a host of, like, probably over almost 100 episodes. Right. So like 100 times I've had to get on a mic and talk about myself or ask questions. So you just get past all that. And it's just like going to the gym, right? You just start putting in the reps and you just get better and stronger at it. Same thing on camera. I went through this struggle a couple of years ago when I'd never been on camera before. And I've been a phone sales guy and for a long time, and I could do leadership meetings and company meetings and in person, no problem. Cool. I get in front of a camera. I'm like, oh shit, what was I supposed to say? I'm stumbling, I'm stuttering. And I just had to keep getting in front of a camera, and I had to get past the whole, oh shit, the lights are on, the camera's on. Who cares, right? It's just a freaking camera. So you just get past a lot of that. You said it earlier. We all have an imposter syndrome. For me, it was like, man, I don't like the way my voice sounds. Man, I don't like the way I look on camera. But it's just like, dude, like, get over it. Like, your job isn't to critique how you look or how you sound. Your job is to impact other people. And if you focus more on other people and the message you're going to deliver and stop being selfish and worrying about you and how you sound and how you feel about the way you sound, then you'll start caring more about the other person. And that's what it's about. It's about how can you take your words and impact someone else and give that someone else a solution to their problems, or a way to help them think a little bit differently to get a better result.
Man, a lot there. So I basically have three takeaways. One of them is practice. One of them is like putting in the reps, doing the exercises. Like with my son last night, it's kind of funny. He was like teasing his older brother. That's just how it is. The younger one is the one who likes to taunt. He was teasing his older brother, and I'm like, son, what is going on? And he's like, it was because of this. I'm like, that's not true. Are you like looking for attention? Did you just think it was funny? Were you bored and like bothering him was solving a problem for you? And it took a little while. Like, we had a long conversation, and finally I just said, he was like, he didn't want to tell me. And he felt like if we got to the bottom of it, the heart of it, the reason why he was bothering his brother, he thought I would judge him. He's like, I don't want to talk to you about it because you'll think I'm dumb. And I'm like, how many times does your dad do stupid stuff? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, when do you think the last time was? And he's like, yesterday. And I'm like, it was today. When do you think the next time's going to be? I don't know. Tomorrow? It's going to be today too. I'm going to do stupid stuff today. I already did stupid stuff today, and I'll never judge you. It's okay to understand who you are, to get to the bottom of it. And the moral of the story is, when you go out of your comfort zone, talking to my kid, and practice that muscle of sharing, even though you're afraid of being judged, you gain from it. And after the conversation, after he finally told me, it was the fact, like, do you feel more comfortable now that you've put yourself out there to do it again? And he's like, yeah, I actually really do. And I'm like, hell yeah, you know, good dad moment. And it's that same thing, just the practice. The other two takeaways that I got from you, Daniel, it's the mission, the why, and the goal. It's understanding your mission, your why, and your goal. This reminds me of like the COVID shot. Regardless of what our beliefs are, some people hate them, some people love them. I got my third COVID shot recently. I freaking hate needles. I don't want a needle inside me. I'm afraid of them. They bother me. But I felt like there was a reason, a why, a mission, a goal. There was something behind it. So I was able to push past my fear of needles or the uncomfort or even being judged by people that are against vaccinations or whatever. So I thought that that was a big thing. And your goal was attention, bringing attention to your company. And the third one, which is my favorite, is where your focus should be. When you're creating this content, it actually harms you to be worried too much about being judged and what are people thinking about me, 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 me. I don't want to look dumb. It's focused inwardly is what really, I think, holds us back, Daniel. And I noticed that when you said, when I focus on impacting, that's the big word that I got, is the impact on others, that it helped you to be able to put out that content in spite of the reluctance of wanting to get on camera. So just a bunch of awesome stuff. You dropped some huge nuggets. with that question that I had earlier, I got it back while you were talking. You mentioned that you've probably been on like 50 guest episodes. And I remember at the beginning of today's episode, you were talking about Guestio. And additionally, it sounds like you are intentional about going on other people's podcasts. So I'm just curious, A, you've done 40-ish of your own episodes and 50 on other people's. What are you truly doing in order to be booked on so many podcasts? Are you paying $500 an episode, or are you going on free platforms? What's helping you do it? And what's the why behind going on other people's shows when you've already got your own?
One, if you don't have one, I definitely recommend you get one. Get a press kit. A press kit or a clutch. It's just a simple way that someone can just read your bio, read what you've done, and take a minute, 30 seconds of their time, look at your press kit and see if they're worth your time, right? Like, I get judged, right? I send my press kit to a host. They might be like, nah, I don't want this guy on my show. Okay, that's fine, right? Like, you move on. A press kit is a great way to get on someone's radar so they can see if you're a good fit or not. Two, the approach is I just have a team that does all the outreach. We use, I believe, Podmatch, when we really love using Guestio. Guestio is just a great way to message people and see if they would want me on their podcast, right? So we have a machine, a outreach program that reaches out to people and tries to get me on as many podcasts as I possibly can. And obviously there's certain podcasts that we're looking for. So being able to get on those podcasts is huge. And the reason why is because I want to have more conversations with people that it may be a great relationship. We might not do business today. We might not do business next month, but shoot, maybe we do business later in the year. Maybe we could become referral partners and sending each other business. Also, getting on podcasts, I'll credit Travis to this. One question I asked him, because he's got his show, Build Your Network, and has a shitload of downloads. And I'm like, dude, what's the best way to grow a podcast? He's like, get on other podcasts, be a guest. He's like, if you go on Facebook or Instagram and you post about your podcast, you don't know if a lot of those people even like podcasts or listen to podcasts. But if you get on a show and you talk about your show, then you're already talking to people that, step one, listen to podcasts. Now it's just up to you to get those people to like you and want to check out your podcast, right? So being a guest on different podcasts, I'm strategically doing that to grow How Winners Win. And then if I can drop some value along the way, like maybe one person listening to this right now is like, holy shit, I have this 401k for my old job in this IRA. I didn't know I could access the money penalty and tax-free. My freaking financial advisor and CPA never told me. How can I do this, right? And you can DM me or go to my website, danielblue.me, and learn more, right? So there's just a lot of different ways that I've come to the conclusion of why it's valuable for me to spend a few hours a week and jump on a few episodes a week.
So much value that I gained from you today, and I hope that the listener did as well. For example, like just talking about How Winners Win is a top 10% podcast, literally, and I know this because we are looking at numbers all the time. And one of the reasons that I think that you got there is because you were pretty intentional about every piece of this. For example, Podmatch, Podbooker, Guestio, Interview Valet. I'm going to make sure all four of these are in the show notes. These are ways that you can get booked on other podcasts, whether you're paying a little bit, paying nothing, or paying quite a bit to make sure that you're getting on all those other podcasts. How Winners Win, go check it out. It's a top 10% podcast. Leave them a rating and review. My favorite thing, Daniel, is from the beginning of this episode, and I can tell in your business and in your life, you are intentional as well about just being who you are to the core, unapologetically, the good, the bad, take it or leave it. And I think that being a podcaster, it's really beneficial for us to own who we are and to be willing to put that out into the world. So we're right there at the end of the time. So I'm going to let you go. All of your links are in the show notes to the podcast. And I just want to say one more time, thank you, Daniel. And to our listener, come back on the next episode. It'll just be me and you, me pouring into your business. Every other episode is an interview. And the opposite is just shorter, me pouring into you. So I'll see you on the next episode. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.